It's a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
Yeah, I'm really proud of them. In our little pregame huddle, I kind of just was like, we've prepped all year for this moment, and I believe in each and every single one of you. We've put in the work, and now it's time for us to go out and shine and just do what we do. They were all really excited to play, and you know, we wanted to put what we did, so I'm proud of them.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Glad to be with you on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. The weekend is officially in the books. The winter sports season is officially in the books, but we've got a lot to recap from that with our Area Federal Credit Union and Insurance Plus Tournament Scoreboard. The Class B champion Castlewood head coach Paul Rosch will be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. It's kind of ironic because we talked with him last Monday at 10:30, and I think he would probably say, you know, I would love to be talking to you guys next week about a state championship berth and a state championship trophy, and we'll have that discussion towards the bottom of the hour. David Tewksbury alongside Matt McClure. Happy Monday, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. I think it was on Monday I was down south in Sioux Falls for the CSP and Northern game, and Ryan was in studio with you, and you asked him how he's doing, and he said, you know, I'm kind of in recovery mode a little bit right now.
Yeah.
That was after he did all that great coverage out west in the state wrestling tournament. I'm kind of in recovery mode right now. I think you are as well. We're both in recovery mode.
Yeah, well, it's definitely in recovery mode yesterday. Didn't do much. Try to catch up on some sleep, rest the voice up a little bit. And, yeah, we're in recovery mode, to say the least, here on this Monday.
Very much so. I tell you what, if my voice on Saturday night was about 40%, it feels like it's about 75% right now.
I'll tell you, you sound pretty good right now.
It's definitely still hoarse. It's still not exactly quite up to snuff where I'd like it to be, but it's definitely a lot better there. A lot less talking yesterday. My wife, my mother-in-law, they all just said, just be quiet. You know, it's a beautiful thing. They don't want to hear from me anyways. But if there was ever an excuse to not talk much, yesterday was a perfect day to do so.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were able to recover a little bit there with the voice there yesterday.
I tell you what, I was putting the sports together a little bit late in the evening there yesterday, and I said, you know what? One glass of Woodford Reserve with an ice cube sounds really good right about now. So I had one drink last night as a kind of a sort of a culmination of relaxation of a day and, you know, three days, 12 games in 3 days. It's an amazing, amazing deal. And I tell you what, that went down smooth. I was a nursing major last night. I was sipping on that thing for a long, long time. And that's what you're supposed to do with Woodford Reserve anyways. But I was in no rush there last night.
Yeah, no, it's certainly, when you put it into perspective, just how long and quick that tournament is in the same breath, because you get there, you're like, four games, sometimes it can be a grind. Mm-hmm. We saw that on Thursday just with the competition of some of the games we saw, but you look at it and say, hey, that went by really fast, those 12 games by the end of it. So yeah, I mean, it was just a lot of fun to be there, and like you said, a great tournament.
Big shout out to Casey Wisemantle and the Aberdeen Convention and Visitors Bureau for putting on a great show up there in the hospitality room. Don Seiler and all hands on deck with the Aberdeen Central squad. They kind of hosted it there, of course, as well, along with Northern State. And, you know, it's just one of those scenarios where there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that we really don't talk about a whole heck of a lot. How about those little girls that were probably, what, 8 or 9 years old running stats all the time?
Yeah.
I think they probably got their steps in over the weekend as well. So it was a labor of love from everybody, and just a big, big thank you to everybody out there that really made the wheels churn.
I got to be honest, I've been thinking about that Netflix suit.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, on Saturday they had that up in the hospitality room, and
from the junction.
Yeah, from the junction. Yeah, it was so good. I was like, yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday.
I'm typically not a let's go back and have seconds kind of guy in hospitality rooms, but I had to make an exception there on Saturday. Man, was that good?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that suit. And like you said, everybody, it was all hands on deck. And yeah, you're right. Those girls and boys handing out the stats, they were running, hey, you need one, you need a stat sheet, and then the people that were giving us the starters as well, they were like, hey, I know these two guys always need two. And
they always
had enough copies for us, so I appreciated that.
Absolutely. Great, great folks that helped us out there with the boys and girls and the men and women on hand there on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Just a great, great, great labor of love. He is Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's toss this thing skyward here to open up the program here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Hey, speaking of a labor of love, we typically don't do this sort of thing to talk about people's personal lives on the Sports Hub, but I figured, seeing as how it is a couple of Northern State people, Northern State alums now, why not? A big shout out goes to Gus Reedy and Rihanna Phillippe, officially engaged.
Wow.
How about that? Rio and Gus. So Rio Reedy is going to be a thing in the not-too-distant future. How cool is that? Two great Northern State basketball players going to be tying the knot in the not-too-distant future.
Hey, congratulations to those guys. Congratulations to Gus and Rio. I think I did see that yesterday. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two Northern State great players.
You got a point guard and you've got a shooting guard. So anytime Gus needs someone to rebound for him or at least feed him the shot, Rio would be that person, right?
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, she's got a great, great pass. Gus got a really good shot there. So they got to get somebody out there to rebound for him. So I'm just saying, might want to get on that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No, I'm teasing. But congratulations to the soon-to-be Reedy family. Outstanding stuff there. Speaking of soon-to-be, Drake head coach Ben McCollum, of course, he was just at Northwest Mo not that long ago. He is leaving Drake after 1 year. He's going to be the new head coach for a Big Ten squad. How about Iowa? He's going to be the new Cornhuskers. Hawkeyes. Coach. Third time is the charm. Man alive, can you tell me I'm sleep deprived? Yes. The new Hawkeyes head coach. And a big shout out goes to Ben McCollum there. He goes from Northwest Mo, D2, did great things, of course, there. Goes to Drake, kind of a mid-major. Would you call Drake a mid-major?
Yeah, they're mid-major.
Yeah, I'd call mid-major. Then all the way now to Power 4 there at Big Ten. He's going to be the new head coach of the Fighting Blues there. No, I'm just throwing out random names now. But congratulations to him. He's the new Hawkeyes head coach in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, and we were talking about him, I think, last week or the week prior when they made the tournament and they won a round and whatnot. And we thought that, hey, they could maybe make a run in the tournament. And we also said, hey, that Indiana job's open. Is he going to take that? And it's not surprising that he got a Power 4 job with what he's done the last couple of years. And we'll see with the transfer portal. Does he bring those kids from Drake with him to Iowa? Most likely. Just how it is.
Speaking of the transfer portal, I checked this morning. You've got north of 700, I think it's 717 in there right now on the D2 side of things. 717 Division II guys in the transfer portal. And oh, by the way, the Sweet 16 hasn't even started yet. We just have the Sweet 16 that starts up on Thursday. But on the D2 side of things, you've got the Elite 8. That's, of course, coming up this week. But it's just crazy to me how you have that many people into the transfer portal and the season isn't even over yet.
Yeah, I saw something earlier this morning that Florida, they have three guys that were on like three separate teams mm-hmm. in the transfer portal, or three separate teams in a couple of years ago that went on big runs in the tournament. and now they're all on the same team at Florida.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of wild. That's today's college basketball. And that's really it. Like, I was trying to think about it. Is it something specific? It's just the way it is. Everybody wants to find that new thing. And back then, it wasn't like that. Just with NIL and, you know, you played 4 years in college. You did have the one-and-done guys. But it especially in basketball, you see it more – you see it with football too. But with basketball, it's, hey, it doesn't matter if we – like, how about this? Like, now this isn't transfer portal. This is a coach. Xavier played Texas. Xavier beat Texas and then lost in the first round. Texas hired the Xavier coach who they just played. Not even like 2 days later.
Yeah,
and that's college basketball. It goes. It's coaching. It's players going to different places. It doesn't matter. It's like, all right, we got to get on it right away, because if not, you're in the cellar.
Out. You're missing out.
Yeah, you're missing out, and you're in the cellar if you're late on it.
Yeah, 100%. And it's kind of interesting. And big shout out to Rob Garofalo. We were talking with him in the hospitality room, and he made a great, great point. 25 years ago, you buy a student athlete a Happy Meal. Now that's a problem. Nowadays, you can buy him a car, and it's all good. So, I mean, pretty crazy how it all has worked out nowadays.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I heard that analogy too. I'm like, yeah,
spot on.
Spot on, man. Spot on. That's how it is now. And that's how college basketball is. It's taken some time to get used to, but I'm just kind of. It's kind of numb at this point. Like, you see somebody in the transfer portal, you're like, ah, well.
That tracks.
That makes sense. Everybody does it.
Yeah, I know it. And I think it's interesting, and I saw this tweet as well from Clay Travis, of course, used to be on Fox Sports Aberdeen on the morning show, and he sent out an interesting tweet, and I think it's spot on. He says, my thesis is name, image, and likeness has destroyed mid-majors in college basketball because all their talent gets scooped up by big-money teams. 22 of the 32 teams left. Of course, this is before the Sweet 16 was all qualified for. 22 of the 32 teams left are all SEC, Big 10, and Big 12. Upsets are almost non-existent in the first 2 days. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now the Sweet 16 is officially set. It's all Power Four. You've got four teams from the Big 10, four teams from the Big 12, and then eight teams combined from the ACC and the SEC. So there's not a whole lot of that diversity, not a whole lot of Cinderella stories here in this year's tournament.
I mean, if you want to call our Arkansas a Cinderella story, but they got John Calipari coaching their team.
Yeah.
They're the only 10th seed. Everybody else, I looked it up, everybody else is a 6th seed or higher in the Sweet 16. That's unheard of.
How are your brackets doing, by the way?
I got all my champions, so that's good for me, but my picks are, I'm at like the 30% tile right now.
Not doing so hot.
No, I picked a lot of upsets this year. A lot. Like Lipscomb, I picked them to beat Iowa State in a 3-14.
Can you even spell Lipscomb?
I don't think so. But Iowa State then lost last night. So I had a couple upsets that didn't happen, but the teams I had going forward, I really needed Florida to lose.
Yeah, they almost did.
I really needed Florida to lose because in the bracket, a lot of people pick Florida because they're hands down the best team. I'd probably say Duke should be in that argument. But if they would have lost, I would have been in the real driver's seat because I got Michigan State and I think Houston in another bracket.
Which makes Sam Astin happy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, big Michigan State fan.
Yeah.
And I was telling Sam that my dad and brother, Maryland is where my brother went, and they went to a Michigan State-Maryland game and at in Maryland, and there was a half-court buzzer beater that Michigan State hit. I was like, yeah, my brother and dad were at that game, and he was like, wow, that's like one of the best games of college basketball all season. The kid hit a half-court shot. And
yes.
Maryland lost four games. Maryland won on a buzzer beater last night. Queen, just a silky, smooth bank shot from the near side.
A lot of controversy about that.
Yeah, with
did
the travel.
Travel? Did he not travel?
No whistle there, in my opinion, but Maryland lost like four games on buzzer beaters that year, and then they win on the buzzer beater last night. I thought that was kind of cool.
So what goes around comes around for them.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it all works out well for them. One team that did not do so well, my Marquette Golden Eagles, a one and done. I didn't watch the game, obviously, because we were on the air during the B, but, you know, I just saw them.
They're allergic to wins in March Madness.
Get progressively worse throughout the season. I think at one point in time, they were sixth in the country. They beat a lot of really, really good teams, and they kind of started out light, like right here, and then they just kind of went like this throughout the season, and then just boom, at the very tail end here. One and done for them.
Yeah, sometimes you see that, like teams, and they're like 8 or 9 seeds. Like, UConn's a perfect example of that. Super high seed. They were kind of going trending down. And sometimes when you get to March Madness, like just something clicks and then you go back up. And UConn was trending that way and they just weren't able to beat the one seed. And Kenny Smith on the postgame show said as much. He was just like, those 8-9 teams in the tournament, they're like those teams that are pretty good and then they just have a kind of a disappointing season then from their standards, and they're a very dangerous team.
Well, Ryan Deal's going to be happy because his Florida Gators are still dancing in the Sweet 16. I almost wanted to call them the Sodex 16 there for a second, force of habit. But congratulations to the Sweet 16 teams there, and both of our squads definitely not there with Penn State. And Sports Hub continues. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Our area federal credit union and Insurance Plus tournament scoreboard can be found in full via hubcityradio.com. Would encourage you to check that out. We'll talk about the B side of things, of course, towards the back half of the hour. If you missed the B, I don't know where you were over the weekend, but we had all 12 games for you right here on these fair airwaves. We'll talk about that as well towards the bottom of the hour with state champion head coach Paul Roche. On the A side of things, that was down south in Sioux Falls in the consolation bracket. In the seventh place game, you had a couple of regional squads here, one local, one kind of regional there. Between 8 and 6, that was Groton defeating Clark Willow Lake 64-52. Carson Zach with 18 points. Keegan Tracy dropping in 13 points there as well. And Bo Begeman with 13 in the loss there for Clark Willow Lake. So two successful seasons for some A squads within the region here for us.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Groton, they struggled a little bit those first 2 days in the state tournament there, but both those sides really played a great season. Not surprised when the bracket came out and saw that, hey, they were in the tournament because
tough draws.
Yeah, tough draws. I was like, it's a tough draw for both of them. But they battled back and played a competitive game there. Congratulations to Coach Dolan there in Groton, and a great season for them. Another state tournament appearance.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the consolation side of things, you had West Central down Hill City 69-54, as you had Connor Mebius with 23 points. With that last name, I kept on thinking that's the same dude from Wessington Springs or something like that, right? No, completely different guys. Same last name, though. Will Cool did have 14 points in the victory for the 4-7. Devin Bueller had 18 points for Hill City in the loss. Bueller. Winner's bracket side of things, for third place, you had Rapid City Christian defeat Lennox 60-58. Benson Kiefer, a team-high 18 points. Tate Gertis had 24 points and 9 rebounds there in the loss for the Orioles. And in the state championship matchup, it was a rematch of last year's. We kind of thought it would be, and it was 1-2. Sioux Falls Christian downs Hamlin 61-51. So a clean sweep there for Sioux Falls Christian on the girls' side as well as the boys. Griffin Goodberry, a game-high 32 points and 15 rebounds. Have yourself a night, my friend. Jackson Wadsworth in the loss had 18 there for Hamlin. So no repeat this year. They did run it back, but they just couldn't quite finish. Sioux Falls Christian had a great season, and you said to me off the air after we got done with the B, you knew that Sioux Falls Christian had that matchup circled on their calendar. They knew it was coming.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They played earlier this year. They won by 15 points. That was in January. I mean, the only loss that Sioux Falls Christian had this year was against the team from Iowa, West Christian Iowa. They lost 89-86. Every other team they played from South Dakota, they won. So you knew they were ready to roll. They probably were coming into this season a little bit fired up because of how last year ended. And you see that you're playing Hamlin, they're probably thinking to themselves, hey, we wouldn't want it any other way. And Hamlin competed in this game. I think Hamlin was ready to play in this game. But Sioux Falls Christian, just a little bit too much for everybody this year in Class A.
Yeah, I kind of went out on a limb. I was picking Hamlin to win that game. I thought most people probably had Sioux Falls Christian to win that game, But from the South Dakota Public Broadcasting folks, a lot of people were picking Hamlin, and not as many people were picking Sioux Falls Christian. I would have thought my pick was kind of outside the box just because of how, like you mentioned, they've been dominating teams all season long, talking about Sioux Falls Christian. But a lot of people picked Hamlin this year. I thought that I was going outside the box.
And I picked Hamlin. Mm-hmm. I thought they were just playing really good, and they saw them once. What kind of adjustments are they going to make the second time? You look at what Hamlin – I mean, they've lost to one team outside of Sioux Falls Christian. That was a team from Houston, Tennessee, and that was at the buzzer at the Corn Palace. So your two losses this year are against Sioux Falls Christian. That's it.
Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy how it all worked out. So congratulations to Coach Neuendorf's squad, a state runner-up finish there. On the state AA side of things, in the consolation bracket, it was 8-6. Spearfish downing O'Gorman, 61-55. Cameron Davis, a game-high 24 points there in the win there for Spearfish. Consolation crown goes to Jefferson over Huron, the 10 over the 5, as Colby Nutbrock with 20 points and 6 rebounds. Blake Elwine in the loss with 24 points. By the way, congratulations to him. He's hit the 1,000-point barrier from this last weekend. That's for his career, of course. Didn't have 1,000 points in the tournament. But a big shout-out to him there as Huron does fall shy 61-60. In the consolation championship. Winner's bracket, the third place game goes to Sioux Falls Lincoln. They're pretty fired up after losing on Friday night. They took out their frustrations on Harrisburg, 81-52. Sam Erickscho had 17 points there in the victory. Ditto for Sam DeGroot in the win there. Stellan Larson had 22 in the loss for the Tigers. And the state championship went to 2-4. It was Brandon Valley over the Colonels of Mitchell, 53-45. Briggs Knutson with 17 points, a game high, as the Lynx, they down the Colonels of Mitchell there, 53-45.
Yeah, not surprised to see Mitchell in that championship game. You say, hey, four seed, but they are just so big inside. If you don't match that physicality, I mean, that Gavin Hanker, he's a bulldozer in there. I mean, we saw him against Central earlier this year. He's incredible. And also Blake Elwine, he's only a junior, so it's pretty impressive that he already got that 1,000-point plateau. But you mentioned it, Sioux Falls Lincoln there, they were a little bit ticked off that they lost to Mitchell because they came out and played well versus Harrisburg. They're probably sitting them to themselves saying, hey, we could have been in that game. But give a lot of credit to Mitchell. Their physicality, I think, really was the difference for them, I think, all season. And when you combine Hinker with their point guard, Marcus Talley, who's going to be playing ball at Augustana, you can go on a run. But Brandon Valley, you know, that was a team that we saw them here at Central, and I wasn't blown away with what I saw. I was like, wow, this is a really solid basketball team. But I wasn't like, wow. When I saw Sioux Falls Lincoln, I was like, wow. When I saw Mitchell, I was like, wow, these guys are physical. But, like, Brandon Valley, I'm like, ah, you know, they got a little – even to a certain extent, I told Mitchell. Sioux Falls Jefferson. I was like, wow, this team's pretty talented. You know, Brandon Valley, I was like, yeah, they're good, but I was surprised to see them, you know, make a run at this whole thing, I got to admit.
Yeah, I had Sioux Falls Lincoln winning the whole thing there in AA. Who'd you have?
I had Lincoln as well.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, you've got Castlewood, you've got Sioux Falls Christian – and you've got Brandon Valley. Do you think all three teams that won state championships were the best in their respective classes? Now, I know that's kind of a stupid question. People are like, well, of course they're the best. They won the games. They're state champs. They're the best. Now, that's not necessarily always the case. Do you believe that all three teams that won their respective classes were the best in that class this year?
Class A, yes. Class B, yes. Double A, no. I think Sioux Falls Lincoln was the best team in Double A.
Just didn't have the best game.
They just didn't play. Yeah, and that's – we talked about it on the broadcast there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was on the broadcast or off the air, but I said that's – I think it was on the broadcast. I said Viborg-Hurley, they played two perfect games, and then they didn't play a great game in the state championship game. Sioux Falls-Lincoln, they played probably two really good games, and you had that one in the middle where you didn't play as well and you got beat.
Well, take a look at – and we'll hit on this, I think, towards the back half of the show after our discussion with Paul Rosch. You look at the five teams that were in Aberdeen that weren't here last year, and you look at them and you say, wow, they're maybe here a little bit maybe a year early. We talked about Lyman. They just kind of really, really have a very young team. Freeman, a very young team. Those are teams that haven't been here in a while. Speaking specifically of Freeman, they hadn't been here since 1999. Wall, the first time they were here since 2001. And you look at those teams and you say, man, you know, DeSmet's at home. Howard is at home. You've got, obviously, White River had a tough year this year. Other teams, Leola Frederick was very, very good this year. They just had so many injuries late down the stretch. It's like, did we really have the eight best teams for Class B here? Or did we just have five teams that played really, really good for 32 minutes of basketball in the SODAC 16 to upset? I think you could have that conversation, certainly.
I think you can definitely have that conversation. You had a 12 seed, you had an 11 seed, and you had a 10 seed winning the SODAC 16. I mean, that's the bottom line. Gregory was a 5.
Yeah, right.
Howard was a 7. And Lemon, they were the 6 seed who Aberdeen Christian beat. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely an argument.
I think you can certainly have that discussion. No two ways about it. Coming up next, we're going to have a discussion with a state champion. He's done it before on the gridiron, but never before on the hardwood. Until Saturday night, we mentioned that he can take that yeah, but from his resume. It's like, yeah, he's a great coach. Yeah, but he's never won the big one. Well, you can take that yeah, but from his resume. So congratulations to one Paul Rosch. He'll be joining us coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stay tuned. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Glad to be with you on this Monday. We are officially in the books with the State B tournament. Our coverage, of course, was quite expansive, I would say, covering all 12 games there this last weekend. And, of course, we were pretty fired up for that Saturday night game between Viborg, Hurley, and Castlewood. And Castlewood won the whole thing there on Saturday night. And we've got the state champion head coach, Paul Rosch, joining us on the phone line here on Monday morning. Coach, thanks again for doing this. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's the dumb broadcasting standard cliched question. State B champion, what's that mean to you? How's that feel?
It really hasn't sunk in yet. I don't. It feels good, obviously. At the beginning of the year, we had a goal in mind, and this was a goal, and to reach it it's a pretty overwhelming feeling, actually.
Yeah, and you joined Ryan on the post game. It was just a quick minute interview, but you kind of mentioned that, you know, this season was a little bit hard for you guys, and you guys were able to overcome a little bit. Can you just talk about that a little bit, how you guys overcame a little bit this year?
Well, we had a real tough schedule to start with, and played a lot of good teams. We played 3 teams that were in the Class A tournament, and several that were in the B tournament during the year, and then a lot of good teams, Class A teams that we played that didn't make tournaments, and it was a challenging schedule, but it made us battle-tested, and we got through it and prepared us for the tournament, and our guys were ready to go and performed well.
Sorry, I got to turn my mic on. Coach, what did your phone look like on Saturday night and Sunday? I'm sure probably an amazing amount of text messages and phone calls and probably emails coming through too.
Over 500 texts when I got to the locker room, and that's an amazing thing too. A lot of people there supporting our team. I had a lot of relatives and friends there too supporting me, and it sure means a lot. I answered every one of them, but it took me a while, but it's still important to me that those people took the time to show up and show support, and it was much appreciated. And I don't know if it's deserved or not, but it was much appreciated that everybody was there, and a pretty good feeling when you see that, and real nice of them to do that.
Coach, could you talk about some of the seniors? Obviously, you've been at the State B before, and you won the consolation championship, you won the third place game, and now you're state champion. So, I mean, those seniors have been through it all over the last 4 years.
Yeah, our seniors have played in 4 tournaments in a row, and every year we've gotten a little bit better. The first year I wasn't here, they got 6th, and then my first year we ended up 5th and 3rd last year, and then, chance to win it this year, and we got it done. And our guys, the previous 3 years, all the games we were in and the tournament atmosphere really prepared us for this. Our guys knew what they wanted to do and wouldn't be satisfied with anything less. And thankfully it worked out for us. And you know, Brian Lowy and Jamison Kesler been in the mix for 3 years as players, Brian for four and James for three. And then of course, Luke and Benny have played a lot the last couple of years. Luke came in and as a junior and helped us out. And you know, our other three seniors that didn't play a whole lot, Colby Davis and Josh Jensen and Jaron Eatson, I want to mention them too. Those guys played an important role on our team and were great teammates, great practice players and did their jobs and accepted their roles. And that's what it takes. You know, it isn't just the guys on the floor. You got to have everybody. And we had seven really good seniors that all worked together to do this.
And you, when we talked to you last Monday, you said, hey, we got to take it one game at a time. And you kind of talked about the atmosphere and how previous years have prepared you for the big moment there on Saturday night. You guys jumped out to a 19-3 lead there on Saturday night versus Viborg Hurley. You guys were ready to play right away.
Yeah, we were, and we knew we had to get out. We played Viborg earlier at the Hanson Classic, and they jumped up on us 19-9. So we were fighting an uphill battle all night that game, and we wanted to kind of turn the tables on them and get a good start and put them behind the eight ball a little bit, and we did that. And you know, I wouldn't have guessed 19-3. We wanted to get up and get a lead, but 19-3, you look up at the board and you go, "Holy cow!" And then you start creeps into your mind they're good enough to make a run. And you know how momentum plays out in basketball games, especially in a title game. A team starts making a run, it's hard to get that momentum back. So our guys, we talked about keeping our poise and staying tough and staying focused. We knew they'd make some runs, which they did. You know, I think they got it down to three or four at one time, but our guys, you know, were able to respond, and it's just so tough to come back from, you know, when we had that lead. When the team works hard to come back, it takes a lot out of them, and I think you could see that in the second half. I think they maybe got a little bit tired. Their shots weren't as crisp as normal, and paid off for us.
Yeah, I think we even said as much as Paul Rosch joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, is sometimes when you're going up against you guys, a 5-point lead feels like 10 or 15, just the way you guys play defense, and a great defensive performance there against Viborg Hurley, winning it 52-31. Now, I'm curious about just getting three games in 3 days and winning all three of those. Obviously, it's not just we're rolling the ball out there and we're playing and we hope we're better than the other team. Can you kind of walk us through yourself and your staff, you know, what does that kind of look like to get prepared, especially for the championship game there on Saturday night, probably a late night there on Friday in your hotel room, just to get prepared against a really, really great squad, because it's such a quick turnaround.
It really is, but you prepare ahead of time too. You know, we focus with our team on day one and first opponent and spend all of our week on that up to the tournament, but we watch a lot of film and have reports on every team, and you know, we played both St. Mary's and Viborg Hurley during the year, so we had already had scouting reports on them, so it helped out a little bit. But at that point, when you get to that final day, you got to trust what you do the best. You don't make a whole lot of adjustments, and you know, you might tinker a little bit here or there and talk about, you know, matchups and stuff, but you got to go with what got you there and trust that it's good enough to carry you through, and that's what we did. You know, we stress all year and with our guys, defend, rebound, value the ball. It sounds simple, but boy, those things win ball games. If you play hard on D and you control the boards, which we did 33-18, you know, a dominant performance on the rebounds and then value the basketball. Don't turn it over. You know, we had a few in the second quarter against that zone and they got some easy buckets out of it. So once we fixed that problem in the second half, we were able to really take off from there.
Coach, Luke Bomberger really had himself a really nice tournament from the outside. I mean, he had a double-digit scoring effort in that Saturday game against Lyman. He had 15 points. I mean, he played really well for you guys on that catch-and-shoot three. He kind of set the tone out there, especially on that Thursday game versus Lyman.
Yeah, he really did. Luke had a great tournament, He had kind of an up and down year shooting the ball for us. He's a really good shooter, but there were moments where he, you know, stretches where he struggled a little bit, and we just stayed with him. And I kept telling him, when we need it, it'll be there. You'll be there for us, and I have faith in you and confidence in you. He had a great state tournament last year for us, so he felt good about that going in. And I knew once, you know, we practiced on Wednesday on the Barnett floor, we all shot the ball really well, which was, our guys were focused, and Luke came over to me and Brody Bass came over to me and said, boy, the rims look really big. And I thought that's a good feeling that those guys have that confidence right now. And we really did. And we shot the ball well, you know, not just Luke, but the whole team. We shot it really well the whole tournament. And you got to do that to win it.
And you mentioned Brody Bass. How about his performance on Saturday, Coach? He went on a little 5-0 run there. You mentioned that Viborg, they made a nice run at it. But Brody Bass hit a couple big shots there. I don't know what was in the near side corner by your bench, but you guys were red hot there in that second half from that area.
That corner right in front of our bench, we had three threes in the third quarter. Brody and Luke and Cam all hit three threes in a row and broke the game open. It went from, I don't know, a three-point game to about 10 or 12 real quick. And we had talked about that pregame. That's how they kind of beat us down in Mitchell, is that it was a tight game. We'd battled our way back into it, and then they hit three threes in the fourth quarter to break it open and win it. And we said it might come down to that again tonight, and actually did a little bit earlier in the game. But our guys really relaxed after Brody made a couple plays. He had one going to the basket, and then he hit a three. And I think he had 7 points in that quarter to help us out. And he had walked out at halftime, and he said he was walking out next to Vibert coaches, and they were talking about they were going to shut down Brian and James. So Brody came in and said, hey, the rest of us got to pick it up because they're going to go after Brian and James out there. And he actually, he went out and did that. He talked about it and went out and did it.
Yeah, I think everybody stepped up. You know, that's the definition of a team win for you guys. And I think Matt even talked about it on the air, speaking of how big the rims look. Free throw shooting was going to be big, and you guys had a great free throw shooting performance there, although I think it was maybe Thursday, maybe I think it was 10 missed free throws, but you still won by double figures. You just really got better as the tournament got on from the free throw line. And I know you're so focused on the game and the performance and everything else like that, but at any point in time, could you almost kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of fanboy it as a, just watching the matchup between Brian Lowy and Colby Flowers on Friday night, and then Hanson against Lowy there on Saturday? Those were two great matchups that went your guys' way.
Yeah, they really were. I mean, we talked to Brian both nights about that we have to win that battle in the post. You know, he's one-on-one with those guys, and both are real good players and all-state caliber players. Those guys held their own, but I think Brian got the best of it, you know, on both ends on them. And he's just he's a load for the other team. I mean, if you win that battle down in the low post, it makes things, you know, easier outside for our shooters to free up a little bit, and it all kind of plays together with itself.
And can you just talk about the environment a little bit? I know Tuke's on the broadcast. He was like, it seems like the whole town of Castlewood's in this building right here. And when the buzzer sounded and you guys won the whole thing, can you just kind of talk about that moment for you and those fans there?
Oh, it was awesome. A lot of people around, and the whole community here was there. And I was lucky enough, the three other places I've been, I had players coming up for me from Lankford and from Webster and Alpena. I took pictures with those guys and took pictures with all of our Castlewood community. And I was able to, you know, Shane and I, Warwick and I went to high school together and played for Galen Swenson. We got a photo there with our high school coach, which is kind of special too. And Shane was gracious enough to do that after a tough loss. And those are memories a guy will remember forever. And made it all pretty special. And, you know, the winning is, I've always been told that the thrill is in the hunt, but I told people that it might be in the hunt, but the kill is pretty fun too and pretty satisfying. So, and able to capture that title was pretty overwhelming. So.
Congratulations again on an incredible tournament, on an incredible season, and we're looking forward to next year already. I know you want to settle this this down a little bit and just kind of bask in that glow, and you should. So, congratulations again, Coach. Appreciate you doing this, and feel good about it because the squad was there. All 3 days, the crowd was there, the environment was phenomenal, and that view from the top of the mountain must look pretty good. And were you a little bit nervous cutting down the net? I got a hard time going up ladders myself. Was it nerve-wracking at all or not so much?
Oh, I used to paint houses, so going up and down ladders is kind of old school, like riding a bike to me. But At my age with a new hip, I was a little bit wary of it, but thankfully that new hip held up. So.
Yeah, second nature for you. There you go. Good stuff. All right, Coach, thanks again. Congratulations again, and enjoy the off season.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate your guys' putting us on and giving us the time, and our whole community thanks you for that.
It's our pleasure. Absolutely. Thanks so much. Head coach Paul Rosch joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, friend of the program, and congratulations to him and that entire community. And didn't we say as much there on Saturday night that there is going to be some people there, probably from the Langford area and Webster and everything else? Again, I didn't know where Alpena was. I had to look that up myself. But I tell you what, an incredible season for them, and they just had a great, great tournament. And I think, speaking of which, those are two great teams they beat on Friday night and Saturday night. I mean, the 8-1, it's never easy there either on Thursday afternoon, but Westington Springs was so good, and so was Viborg Hurley, and they just really, if we're being honest, they kind of dominated those teams.
That wore them down, I feel like. I think those other teams, they had moments, but they're just too big, they're too strong, and you know, you look at some of the others on that squad, you know, Baumberger, Bass, I mean, Camden Kessler, who I thought was kind of just what he was able to bring on both sides was key, and I think they wore those teams down. Like, that, you could tell that while Castlewood was getting stronger throughout the game, those teams were getting tired. Like, Viborg Hurley, they threw everything at them, you know, the kitchen sink at them in that second, and found themselves, it's a 7-point game. We've scored 14 points. We're down 7. And they battled back a little bit in the third, but Castlewood, they out of the timeout, they just were able to settle it down, and they just were the stronger team. They bullied them, kind of, both Westington Springs and Viborg Hurley. They were the more physical team. You mentioned the rebounding numbers. Going into that game, I thought that rebound, the last Saturday game, I thought that rebounding number was going to be pretty even. That's why I didn't really bring it up, because I'm like, oh, okay. You got Hanson, he's 6'7", Lowy, 6'9". That kind of cancels itself out. And from just looking at Viborg, they're a pretty big team. So I didn't even think about that. I mean, to be plus 15 on the glass versus that team, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all. I thought the exact same thing. Both of those guys, or both those teams, have very, very physical guys in the paint. That's got to be pretty even. It wasn't. And I think that was one of the big reasons why Castlewood found a way to get the job done. And, you know, Morrison had 17 points the first time they played each other, and 5-for-7 from downtown to lift Viborg Hurley over them in the first meeting, 49-44. And they just really slowed him down. He just couldn't get going in that game. And that's another big reason they held him to only 31 points.
Yeah. I mean, also, Viborg couldn't make a shot. I mean, Let's be real. I mean, they could make a shot. I think it had to do a lot to do with the defense. How many times did we say it feels like 8 or 10 people for Castlewood are guarding the ball right now? I mean, they got out. It was kind of sometimes their guards are tall, and they got out on them. They didn't want to give up that three ball, because you mentioned it. They didn't want to get burned by Morrison again. I mean, ask St. Mary's how that went.
Yeah, it's a good point.
He burned him. He burned St. Mary's with a couple long balls.
And big momentum shifters as well. So congratulations to Castlewood there. We'll unpack the rest of the field there coming up next and put a bow on the B coming up after this on FSA. Once again, big shout out to Castlewood, of course, State B champs. Make sure to smash that like button and share the stream there as well. That'd be great. And a friend of the program, and nice to see him at the top of the mountain, 39 years and 621 career victories, but he'll always remember 621. He probably won't remember, you know, 537 or 292, but 621, that's a biggie.
Yep, no doubt about it. I was thinking about that too, like 621 wins. That's a lot. It's a lot. He's done it everywhere he's been, and it's amazing. You look at that 620 wins, and you say, hey, I've never won the championship before. And now he's able to say, yeah, now I have. And yeah, he's had a heck of a career.
Hall of Famer, for sure. Consolation bracket there on Saturday saw Aberdeen Christian put together their best 32 minutes of the tournament. They were all over Lyman, 64-46. Luke Kaiser with 22 points. Jet Johnson with 14 as well. Brooks Jet had 13. And you also had Grady Jet with 10 points there as well. And they were flying. My goodness gracious, a lot of Jets out there, and they really pieced together, I thought, their best 32 minutes of that tournament.
Yeah, they played really well there on that last Saturday, and Brooks Jett, he really impressed me. We were talking about it on the broadcast, just how he's able to high-point the basketball on those rebounds. He was the best rebounder in this tournament, outside of Lally. I think he was right up there with the best rebounding.
He was big time, absolutely. Wall, they really impressed me on day two and three. They played very, very well, made a couple of great adjustments. They shot the ball better as well. That always helps, certainly, but their defense really ratcheted it up. They won the consolation crown over Freeman 79-67. Thielen Kerstad had 26. Emmett Dinger with 25. Wall had a really, really good back half of that tournament.
Yeah, they just play a different style, which is up and down. They have two elite scorers, and it just took them a day to kind of settle in, which I think it takes. You know, you never been in the first time in the tournament since 01. Maybe it took a game for them to get going.
And it did, and it certainly got going for them there in the consolation crown. Winner's bracket, good for third place for St. Mary's. They were all over Wessington Springs. They really played their brand of basketball best brand of basketball. Say that five times fast. Anyways, the Cardinals big over Wessington Springs there on Saturday night, 71-54. Trevin Beckman had a team-high 21 points there in the win. Maverick LeBrun, a double-double, 19 points and 14 rebounds. Not afraid at all of the contact. I thought he really responded well against probably one of the more physical players in the tournament with Colby Flowers.
Yeah, they fed him in that game, and he's an impressive player. We said it on during the semifinal game. He was only took 7 shots, 7 points. To see him go out like that, have a big-time effort, and he was the vocal point of that offense. Pretty cool. And that St. Mary's team, they were the more flashier teams we saw, and they can score, man. They really can. If they get hot, watch out. That was what impressed me about them.
They could score. They could run. They were a lot of fun. They are the third-place team in the Class of B. And, of course, the state championship, as talked about already, Castlewood was all over Viborg-Hurley, 52-31. If you missed the conversation with Paul Rausch, you can check it out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. We're back at it tomorrow on FSA.